Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Now, this being the last Sunday of the month, we will have our fellowship luncheon directly following this service, and everyone is invited for good food and fellowship. And please note in your bulletin that all other activities after our 2 o'clock service this afternoon at Pacific Hills Manor are canceled. Please refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during this coming week and next Sunday. On February 11th, that's 2 weeks from today, we will have our quarterly congregational business meeting, and we encourage you to attend that meeting. Be brought up to date as far as the business matters of the church are concerned. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center is having a fundraiser. I missed the date on that, but see Jovi Noriel for information on that. And there will be music and dancing if you're interested in music and dancing. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 34, Immortal Invisible. Sing hymn number 384, Where He Leads Me.
Thank you. Please remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence as a church body. We are called to worship You on the first day of the week till You come again. And so, Father, in obedience to Your word, we gather together to study, to proclaim that in Christ Jesus we have a new life. That in Christ Jesus we have the justification that is needed in order to be in the presence of a mighty God. And so, Father, we pray that You be pleased today with our service. We pray that the things that we said will be the things that You will say to the people in order to understand Your word, in order to understand life as need to be lived, as a testimony, a living testimony of what our heart really is. We thank You, Lord, for the day in which You give us light and love, and we understood the Lord Jesus took our place on Calvary Cross. We pray for those who have not yet understood this, that they might, according to Your will. Father, as a church body, we have people who need the touch of Your presence, and we are reminded for our wonderful Loretta Forrest, Mary, and Jerry in West, in Central America, and Costa Rica, and Father, for Donald McDowell, that You may, after surgery, that he may recover totally and give him a strength in his life, and he may feel again back to normal. Lord, we don't know others, but if someone is need the touch of Your healing power, Lord, we are just close as a prayer to the mighty God who has power to heal. We pray for the missionaries, each one of them, working in different areas of the world, doing different things for people. Father, thank You that You allow us to have this good number of missionaries. Fred and Carol Lewis now assigned to Pasadena in the School of Missions. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, with a new approach to visit the city with the Bible. Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga. David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Vendano in Guatemala. And Marta Ferretti in the Drug Addict Center in Argentina. Dante and Maruja Rabines in Iquitos, Peru, on the Amazon River. Joseph and Diane Avila preparing themselves for the trip to Costa Rica. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in the city of Gilroy. The Christian Athletic Association in San Jose. And Daniel and Miriam Lacey and the Motorsport Ministry. Lord, thank You, thank You, thank You that You allow us to have this good number of missionaries so that we can enrich the world with the Word of the Living God. We thank You for Your provision every Sunday. We thank You for Your care for us. And we pray that we may have an aggressive ministry in the area of Morgan Hill. Thank You for the great results on the Internet and the great results on the radio ministry, Father, for the people that call all over America because they are listening to the Word of God. Thank You for the new family who are listening today in Jacksonville, Florida. After talking on the phone, they now know that there is a place where they can hear the Word of the Living God. Thank You, Father, for the expansion of our church. We don't see them, but we know they are there. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. And we pray for the city of Morgan Hill, that we be in service to this city, and that You be pleased to save many in the city where our church is. Thank You, Father, for the offering then. Thank You for the giving, for the giver. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
sons of light, ye creation soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing sky. Against the falling bears below, let all the strength be hurled. It is the victory we know that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head with truth all good about. The earth shall tremble beneath our feet and echo.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Judges. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 162. We will be reading Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the land of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come before you in gratitude and thanksgiving that you have blessed us with every blessing in Christ. In him we lack nothing, only because of your mercy and grace. We pray for ourselves here in the whole church that we would be obedient to all you have commanded as our response to that love you displayed in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to bear our sin and the penalty for it in his own body. We thank you for your word in the scriptures that guide us every step of the way. We pray for those you have raised up as teachers and pastors to expose your word and help us in our walk with the Lord Jesus. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he comes to bring the words of life from the scriptures. And bless us that we may be not only hearers of the word, but doers also. We ask that you would also bless that hearing of the word to those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God. I encourage you to have your Bible open on this wonderful book of Judges. And I'm going to refresh your memory and many events on the book of Judges, if you are not familiar, for the steps that God took between God leaving Israel to establish government in Israel. The book of Judges is like a bridge. And this January of the year 2007, we have learned few men that can lead us and show us the example of life. We learn that from selfishness to common sense, people came in, and that was the prodigal son. He was a selfish boy, like we all are, you know, when we're young. We think in ourselves many times. And from that moment on, God allowed this man to go really wrong until he rescued him. That's the story of all of us. He rescued us from ourselves. How wonderful God has intervened in our life. Then we have a man that we study from abandonment to prime minister of Egypt, a foreigner. Like Kissinger was a Jew German, and he was a Secretary of State of the United States. So Joseph, being a foreigner, took that remarkable position in Egypt. And remember the story of Joseph as he focused his life in God. Regardless what happened, he cared less. He only focused on God and focused on God, and God prospered him. Then we studied last Sunday from servanthood to president of his nation, and that was Joshua. He served Moses for 40 years, and then he served Israel for 40 years. And the thing that impressed me about Joshua was the Bible called him the servant of Moses in Joshua 1:1. When Joshua finished his life, 1:29, and then in chapter 24 of the book of Joshua, he's called the servant of God. That's how we really strive in life. We start serving God in many areas of the ministry of the church, but may God allow us to finish our life being the servant of God. I want to call the attention today to someone who really was nobody. You know, nobody. Have you visited small towns in the United States? I did. I worked in the radio for 29 years, and they sent me out. So I went a day ahead, rent a car, and moved from the big cities of Philadelphia, Boston, and so on, to little towns. And walk in coffee shops and look to people. They are nobody. You don't recognize who they are, and they are very simple. They are very different. You go to the South and Texas and Georgia and Jacksonville and all these. They are very simple people. Nobody. I just look to people and I say, I wonder if God will use one of these nobodies in America to bring America to God. Excuse me. The man they are going to bring to your attention today is a nobody. His name is Gideon, and you maybe know him for Sunday school, for his stories in Sunday school.
that his Hebrew name is Gedeon, very close to the English name, Gideon. If you look in your Bible in chapter 6 and in verse 11 of the book of Judges, Gideon was a man of the tribe of Manasseh. And that will explain a lot to you, as I will refer in a minute what that means. We read in Judges 6:11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash. Joash was his father. The Abizarite. Abizarite is the third son of Manasseh. And you remember Manasseh? It was the first son of Joseph. Joseph had two sons. Manasseh was one of them. Remember where they live? Now picture yourself. You have Israel, the peninsula of Israel. And on the west, you have the Mediterranean. And then on the east side, you have the Jordan River. And then Israel possessed even the land, the other side of the Jordan River. And Manasseh was one of them. And when Israel need to go and conquer the land, the tribe of Manasseh did not came. They enjoy the land by themselves. They enjoy the comfort that they were there protected by the big Jordan River. And they stay there, and the other 10 tribes have to go and fight the battle. Now, that was Manasseh, the first son of Joseph. And this man, Abiezerite, is the fourth generation of that. And the Bible said that the angel came in, and right there in the place in Ophrah, pertained unto Joash, the Abiezerite, and his son Gideon, threshold wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. So here is a man who is doing a very simple farming work and is hiding the food because the enemy is going to come and take it away. In his days and the days of Gideon, Israel had forsaken the Lord. You know, when you say no to God, when God, you read the scripture and you say, well, I don't want to do that. You read the scripture and God said A, B, C, D. You say, well, I'm a believer, but I don't going to do it. I'm going to go in my way. Unfortunately, it happened in our life. And that were the days. Let me show you what happened in chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. I brought it, read it, but it's good to read it for you again. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. To do evil in the sight of the Lord is not to do what he said. This is how serious it is in God's hand. When you do not do what God said is evil before God. All right? And the Lord then delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Midian, you know, the Jordan River. Manasseh's on the top, the Jordania. And then at the bottom is the Midians. And the Midians went up. All right? These are the Arabs. They went up. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshopper for multitude, for both they had their camels were without number, and they enter into the land to destroy it. I mean, when God takes the hands off of a Christian, you can really go down. I want you to be scared of this. Somebody said to me, when you preach, don't make people afraid. I want you to be afraid. When God takes the hands off from you, you really go down the hill. And there is nobody that will help you to go up. That was the time in Israel when this man Gideon grew up. And as usual, what do you do when things go wrong? The prayer meeting is full. When things go wrong, if a church has a prayer meeting, it's full. I never forgot 1980 in Nicaragua. The radio had a good idea to send me to the invasion of the communist country of Nicaragua, which is now the President Ortega. There was commander-in-chief to do a work with the churches in Nicaragua, in Managua. It was an ordeal to come into the country, but we came in. And was on Thursday, and the pastor, Pastor Mendoza, as you know, we supported him for many years. He said to me, Pastor, be prepared, because on Sunday there will be about 4 services, but on Wednesday night, on prayer meeting, there will be more than 6 services, as people make line on the street to come to prayer. I just thought it was too much. It was just as he said. The place holds 800 people, and it was full. 1 hour later, the next people will come in. I will teach something and other people to pray. Why? Because the communists has invaded Nicaragua and take over the Nicaraguan people. Their business was wrong. Their food, they lack food. Can you imagine? I cannot even have a coffee. I need to have a red car. And each time I get a coffee, and the government punch you. Imagine that. Imagine somebody who drinks 20 cups of coffee a day, now it's only one. And that's a red car. You cannot buy rice, only one. You cannot buy sugar, only once a month. Imagine what this country came down. And people came to pray. Now, look at how merciful is God. Look at verse 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cry to the Lord. That's what people do. They do not pray. They have no intention to pray. They have all kinds of business in their life, but they will not come to pray. But when things go wrong, you see them in that prayer meeting. Thank God that He is no human. He's God. He's merciful. Why? Look at verse 7 to 10. People pray, all right? They were honest. They were saying, God, we're in trouble. Look at verse 7 to 10. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cry unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet, a preacher, unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus said the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I deliver you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppress you, and draw them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord, your God. I'm Jehovah. Remember, that's Exodus 3:14. I'm Jehovah, your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. You can live in any place in the world. When you have God, you are protected. That reminds me, 42 years ago, I arrived to the United States of America. 42 years ago. My family was praying. Not for they were afraid that something would be wrong with me. I was 29 years old, young. Black hair, nice mustaches, everything looks good then. Like a lady in Florida saw my picture on the television. I was preaching there, and I said, you can watch me preach and such and such. And so they watch him in Spanish. And she said, oh, you're an old man. She said, I don't feel old, but she saw my white hair. But you know, my family was afraid of one thing. Of the evilness of America. Because America is such a progressive country. Such a progress in America. They move you from the simplicity of the gospel. Said my family. And my aunt took the task to write me every month. And remind me of the things that can be wrong If I move from the simplicity of the gospel, that's the older sister of my mother. Every month she was a widow. In her function, she was a widow at 42, and her function was to visit the hospital and to encourage people. I come from a real rooted home in the gospel. And they were afraid. I was too young. I was involved in something they should not, because America has a distraction, she said, for the gospel. Well, God told these people, you have not obeyed my voice, fellows, and that's very bad. Now, I want to show you this man who was nobody. He was just getting wheat and hide it in some place, in some caves, so that when the Midianites came in, they all looked pale and so on. We had nothing. He was really nothing. Just a Mexicano campesino. You know what that means? That means a man from the farm. All right? Very simple. You don't see anything. But he was faithful to his family, faithful to his father. His father, Joash, he was an idolater. He worshipped idols and so on. So he don't have a great background. But he was a man that God looked upon. Of all the men of Israel, to lead Israel like he was the sixth judge in Israel. Of all the men of Israel, that's the last man I will choose to lead Israel. So I want to see why God chose this fellow, characteristics of this man. Then I want to look for his success, and then we're going to apply it to our life. First characteristic is his humility. Look at it in chapter 6, verse 12 to 15. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Well, that looks like a joke to me when I read it. He, mighty man of valor, he hides the things which he's afraid to fight. And he said, oh, I'm here. And God called him mighty man of valor. Verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all these befalling us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and deliver us unto the hands of the Midianites. Grandparents, maybe he learned from his grandpa that the Lord hath taught him what the Lord hath done. Amazing. Look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go, and these thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now that's the key. God said, I'm sending to you. It's not your idea, it's my idea. Verse 15, and he said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? You know, the guy said, I had just hidden some corn over there. What am I going to do? How am I going to save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. Extremely humble, real to his life, humble. And that's a good lesson for us. If you turn your Bible to 1 Timothy 1:15, page 698. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, page 698. Here's a great lesson for us. The Bible said this in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first, said the King James. I will use the word foremost. I'm the foremost. Who's writing? Dr. Paul. PH in philosophy and the Gamaliel. And Dr. Paul, when he writes, he said, this PhD said, this is a faithful saying, and I'm the first sinner. I'm the foremost sinner. No one of us is ahead of anybody, include this pastor. We're all the same. We're all the same. We're all sinners saved by grace. We're all sinners who were ignorant of God or rebellious against God or really doing whatever we want to until God did what he did with Gideon. Hey, Gideon, what are you doing there? And God did it to you and to me. What are you doing there? I need to talk to you. Humility was one of his qualities. Well, back to Judges. This man was really smart. And a smart man is cautious, very cautious. Look at in verses 16 and 17. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Cautious. God said, you will be a great man. You will be the leader. You will do it. Uh-huh. Well, it's me. God told me. No, he said, wait a minute. I had 2 degrees already from university. When I graduated with a doctorate degree in seminary, I went and worked under a pastor because I wanted to know how the Americans think. So I told this pastor, I tell you, I want to be in the board meetings and everything you do, I will not say a word. I just listening so I can understand the American mind because it's different. It's different than any other mind. You're so free that you bounce out of what is right. And so I want to know. The deacons, I want to know everybody. And I did it for 4 years. So I understood what happened. You need to be cautious. You are young, especially if you are young. I was 40, so I was extremely young to take leadership. And so you need to really be cautious. And this man is cautious. Let me show you one man who was extremely cautious. That was Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, page 312 in your Bible. Page 312, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Now, God did the same thing with Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the FBI of King Ahasuerus. And God said, Nehemiah, you're going to be the leader of Israel. And you're going to lead these people back to the land. And when God, he was sure that God was working with him, look at what he did. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17. Then said I unto them, he gathered all the people together in Jerusalem, and he said, ye see the trouble that we are in, and how Jerusalem lies waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. He never used the word I will do this and I will do the other. He said that we may be no reproach. He was just equal with everybody and wanted to be sure that everybody was with him before he launched the great moments where all the Israelites came from the north, from the Chaldean into Jerusalem. About 40,000 apiece, 3 times, were there. Now, caution. God had a good mind. He's humble. He has caution. Now, spirituality was part of his life. Let's go back to Judges chapter 6. Let me read you verse 18 to 24. The spiritual part of this man, you can see it. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until you come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and 11 cakes of ephah of flour. And flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it unto him under the oak and presented. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the 11 cakes and lay them upon this rock. And he poured out the broth and he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the 11 cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the 11 cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And remember, the Bible says, if you see in God face to face, you die. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. And to this day, it is yet an Ophrah of the Abizar rites. Jehovah Shalom. You know, he was a man of peace. Here's God's going to use a man to provoke a war and conquer and liberate the country. And to do that, God chose a man who his spirit was at peace with God. If you look in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, verse 27, page 633, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse 27, this is 633. This is what God gave us in Christ Jesus. This is what God has given you and given me in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, never be afraid." A man of God is a man of peace. He knows that God has control of the universe, control of the circumstances, control of his life, and he's at peace with God. And he's at peace with others. So now, one of his characteristics is that he was a man of peace. Then, a man of obedience. If you go back to Judges 6:25 to 27, you see that he was a man of obedience. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had, and cut down the grove that is by it." See, his father was a man in idolaters. "And built an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the order place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon," verse 27, "took 10 men of his servant and did as the Lord has said unto him." Now that's a man that God will use. Gideon did as God has said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, he did it by night. His father was such an idolater, they would not allow his son to worship God. Some of you maybe come from homes like that. In South America, people have come from homes like that, where the parents were Roman Catholics, and if they will go to an evangelical church, they will throw them out of their place. I have a sister-in-law who was an Italian family, an extremely Roman Catholic. And when the sister-in-law went to my uncle's church and found the Lord, she was thrown out of the house, and my uncle already had four girls at home, had to get her into the house for a year because the parents would not allow her to go over there because she had the gospel. Obedience. He did as the Lord said. Then I want to read for you the other areas, but let me tell you this. He has divine inspiration. He will never move. He will never move. He will never do anything that will be his own idea. He will never say, "Well, now I have a project from God. God has commanded me. I think this is the way to go." That's what I never tell the deacon board. This is the way to go. We look upon the book and find out the way to go. Was this man successful? Yes or not? Was this man really a man who accomplished his goals? Or was he a man? Let's look in chapter 7, please, in verse 15. To 25, chapter 7. "And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of a dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord hath delivered unto your hand the host of the Midian.' And he divided the 300 men into three companies." Remember what happened with Gideon? He said, "Boy, those people have about 600,000 people. What kind of army do I need? Only 300, remember? Only 300. Look at here, verse 16. "And he divided the 300 men unto the three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, 'Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do.'" Very aware. We don't need weapons. What we need is some empty things with stone inside. And when the horse moves, they make noise. And we need 100 guys here, 100 there, and 100 there. And the trumpet. And when I blow the trumpet and every horse moves, and all this noise, there will be in the valley. There will be a noise you can't believe. That's God's idea. All right? Verse 18. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpet also on every side of all the camp, and said the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpet and brake the pitchers that were in their hand. And the three companies blew the trumpet and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpet in their right hand to blow withal. And they cried the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the hosts ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpet. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout the hosts. And the hosts fled to Beth Shehah, the Zereratz, and to the border of Abel Meholah, and to Tabah. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers through all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters and unto Beth Barah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took waters and Beth Barah and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they slew in the winepress of Zeb, and they pursued the Midianites and brought the head of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. He was a successful man. A nobody. A little boy who hides something. I look on it and I said, I was driving home. I was possessed. I'm super possessed by my sermons. When I'm driving, I'm just dreaming on them. And I was telling my wife, thinking in my congregation and thinking in the congregations of Christians across America, so much riches in this country, so much potential in this country. If I was born here, I was president of the United States. I guarantee it. So much potential in this country. What's going on with Christianity so low? Why Christianity is so low? Why Christianity is so cheap that they have to imitate the world in the church in order to attract people? Why? I was really burned by that. Why is Christianity surrendered to the world? And the reason, the secret is that this little fellow, this nobody boy, who beat 600,000 Midianites with 300 men. This boy, follow God's plan. The plan was ridiculous. Put some tents and stone and blow the trumpet. The people were confused in the valley. They killed themselves, as you heard the reading. They killed themselves. And then Ephraim came with the tribe and finished the war. He followed God's plan. Why so many marriages go crazy in America? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I mean, the world get divorced and divorced and divorced. That's acceptable. But the church of the living God has failure in marriage. I cannot tolerate it. What's going on? What happened is the church of God forgot the plan. Forgot the drawings. The church of God wanted to imitate a showroom. Not too long ago, we went to visit the Malones and we walked to the strips in Las Vegas. And I said to my brother, it's irresistible to be there. It's unattractive to a Christian. I pray for the police, poor police, with the job they have. Listen, the church of God wants to be in Las Vegas. I watch the buildings. You listen to an architect trying to tell you the building. And it's like that. You need these big things. You need these screens coming down. You need this light coming from here. You need the other coming from here. For what? I'm an old fellow. They show me my skin shows my... I'm an old fellow. No. He said, but as you are preaching, then a screen come from the ceiling and announce what happened in the week. But what is going on? The church lost. I preach in a church, 4,000 people. And they want me there, but I can't tolerate it. The young people are in another building, 2,000 of them. And there was a big sign at the door, noise. I said, I'll try. I opened the door. Oh, there was noise. And I said, who preached to them? He said, well, by the time you preach, then the screen come down, your picture is here, and they hear the word. But these young people had no idea what church is. Church is sit down with your Bible and your hymn book and listen to the preacher telling you about God. That's what the church is. So, well, you will not have 4,000. Well, who told you we had to have 4,000 to begin with? See, Gideon thought in that way. He said, I got this army and this army. He said, Gideon, go to the river. Remember this story? Go to the river and let them drink water. And those who are lazy, dismiss them. Dismiss them. Only 300 left. And was enough. So I'm going to briefly, I don't have time to look in the scripture, but I tell you, I think I put it in the bulletin for you. Let me ask you this question. Do you know God's plan for your life? Ephesians 2:10 said that God has saved us to fulfill His plan in our life. Your plan is different than my plan. Do you know God's plans for your life? And let me just grasp some of God's plan for people. Alright? As a pastor, what am I supposed to do? That's the first question I ask in the seminary. As a pastor, what am I supposed to do? Well, if you read in your home 1 Peter, and I have the reference for you there, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, the Bible said, a pastor feeds the church of God. My job is to feed you with the Word of God. So I have designed every month a different kinds of feeding, because you go to a restaurant, you don't ask for hamburger every day, is that right? So I don't want to give you a hamburger every day. I just give you this month this kind of feeding. Next month is going to be really hot. It's going to be Christianity and you. If you call yourself a Christian, this is what you're supposed to be. Little hot. And then is April, March I'm not here, but April will be Christ and you. I just turn the oven a little hot every month until we blow up in December with Christ's glory. Okay? But I had to think. I had to feed you. What a responsibility. I had to look in the Bible and prepare the food so that you can assimilate it. Would you give a steak to a baby? No, you will not. So I have to know how to teach as a baby. I have to know how to teach for the strong man. And my meal, I had to have all kinds, vitamins and this and the other. And I had to prepare it in a way that when you go home, say, I understood the Word of God. When the young people go home, I understood the Word of God. That's my job. As a deacon, you read Acts 6, 1 to 6. You serve the church. Everything needs to be done in the church, you do it, man. You're a deacon. You serve the church. Whatever the pastor needs, you are right there. That's what a deacon is, a servant of the Lord. As a church member, you are faithful to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, no forsaking the assembly of yourself together. You are faithful in the church of God. So when visitors come in, they see a group of people there worshiping God, and they feel, okay, they mean it. They mean it. I'm so hot on this that when my brother Mary, 6 years younger than me, we both play soccer in Argentina, I said to my brother, when you marry, I pay your wedding. You just tell me where you want to go, I pay. So I want to go to visit you. We were close. So he married, he came. So I want to show you the state of California, state of Nevada. But on Sunday, wherever we are, we're going to drive back home, because my pastor needs to see me on the second pew. Well, he married wrong. He married an unbeliever. And she cannot understand this. She cannot understand it. Why you need to be in the church? Because, see, that's what God said. No forsaking the assembly of yourself together. So I take you I took 3 weeks off. I take you every place you want to. But on Sunday, you and my brother and me and my family, because this is my house and that's where you live, you're going to be in church. Wow. She was mad. She was mad. Really mad. And one time said, and there is no Catholic church in San Francisco. Oh, yeah, there is. So we went to the Catholic church. I said, I go. We went to 2 o'clock very nicely. And she put a $100 offering to a statue and pray. So I went, I prayed, and I got $100 within my pocket. I still don't forget. I thought nobody was there, brother. And here the priest coming in. See? I said, God, give me words because it can be trouble. He said to me, what do you think you're doing? I said, oh, Father, my sister-in-law, who is a devoted Catholic, prayed to that statue, and the statue told her, put $100. I prayed and said, get it. So what he can do? He said, now we're going to have lunch, and the statue will pay for the lunch. Church members, please don't play around with your membership. You want to be a member? That means you want to be faithful to this local church. That's what membership means. You, when the doors are open, you are there. When we need to pray, you are here because you're a member of this church and you mean it. That's what the scripture said. As an individual, what I should do as an individual? Isaiah 65 said, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while may be found. Remember? Don't play around with that. You're in service, you are right in the right place. Don't avoid to seek the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, because that's why you are here. As a young person, the Bible said in Ephesians 6, obey your parents. Oh, my parents, obey your parents. As a husband, you love your wife. Oh, she doesn't cook right enchilada. You love your wife. You love your wife. You marry her. You love your wife. As a wife, you respect your husband. He made mistakes. Yes, mom, he made mistakes. I made mistakes. But we, a wife, respect the husband. Gideon wanted to be sure that he was a man for the project. Gideon wanted to be sure. And God said, you are the man. You are the man. And then he said, what is the plan? If you are the man to see Sunday school teacher, if you are the man to be a deacon, you're the man to be this, you have to ask God, where is the plan? You want to get married? All right. God, this is the girl I like it. This is the boy I like it. Where is the plan? What is the plan? What is the plan? And you look in God's plan and He teach you no magazines or seminars for the young people how to get married. You read this Bible and you know how to get married. The church lost their bearings. And the church is everywhere. But may God help you and help me to be strong in the Word and ask God's plan. And what I think is the most important part is this. May God help us to follow His plan. Then we will prosper. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. That you gave us today a challenge from nobody to somebody. A man who we will not think anything about that person. But when that person followed you, he became a giant. Lord, may each one of us follow you in the position you have us. Some people are married, some are single, some are young, some are old. But Father, you have a plan for each one of us. Help us to be sure that this is the plan you have for me in the Church of the Living God. And then to follow your precepts. So that we might be blessed. Bless us with the knowledge of the Almighty. That we be careful to give you glory today and forevermore. Amen. To know that grandma and granddaughter can sing together. All right? Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Remind you again that this is Fellowship Sunday. You may stay for lunch, whether you brought food or not. There is plenty of food. Anthony will not eat until you all eat. Lord, we are shocked sometimes by the little things that we see in the Bible, and I was moved by Gideon. A man so humble and so wise. So I pray that each one of us may return home with that desire to challenge our life by your will and by your book. And if someone doesn't know you, Father, we are not here on the business of make people Baptist. We're here in the business of Christianity. One heart and one mind. May they know you, Jesus, as the personal Savior of their life. Thank you, Father, for the instructions of your book. Thank you for the challenge for our life, to raise our enthusiasm, to follow you all the way. In Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.